Welcome. My name is Liz and I'm the Youth Minister here at St Alfred's. It is a pleasure to be on your screens this week. I wanted to start by saying that I have 99 problems, but sharing the gospel is not one of them. Sometimes we may find it easy to say, nah, not today. How often do we use this excuse? I have 3 nieces and 2 nephews, all under the age of 6, and so often when I'm asked to do something, like play outside in the rain, take them for ice cream, or bring them treats, my response is, nah, not today. But these passages in Acts are to remind us that there is no better time than today. There are 3 key points that come out of today's passage. Firstly, Christians must be ready to interpret the scriptures to those drawn to the Bible but bewildered by it. Secondly, nothing hinders any converted believer from being included in the household of God. And thirdly, nothing can hinder the spread of the gospel because the Spirit, not humans, is in control. So let's dive in. Looking at these passages in Acts, we see God's work is moving throughout Jerusalem. In Acts 8:1, it doesn't happen without knowing Acts 1:8. The scattering of the Christians to Judea, Samaria, and beyond is the fulfillment of Acts 1:8, as Jesus had said that the church would be his witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Although the Christians are now being persecuted by the authorities, we see in verse 2 that they still honoured their martyred brother Stephen by giving him a proper burial. That meant Stephen's body wasn't defiled by being left to rot in the open. What we see as a setback, the persecution of the church in Jerusalem, the Lord uses for advance. As the church scattered and spread, so did the gospel. Verse 4 confirms for us that the fruit of the gospel began to grow. Philip is brought into the story at this point. As a Jewish Christian, Jerusalem was the perfect place with fertile ground for the gospel. Samaria, on the other hand, was regarded as unclean. There were people who were intermarried with Gentiles. It was considered a rocky, unfertile ground for the gospel to grow and flourish. Philip went to Samaria and proclaimed Christ. It is at this point that we see in the passage that everyone paid close attention. Philip was casting out unclean spirits, healing the paralyzed and the lame. The result of these works was that there was great joy in the city. This joy wasn't just from the physical healings, but also from the spiritual deliverance and revival. This section of the passage helps us understand the pressure that the church was under and the reality of the persecution. Stephen was martyred, the church was scattered. We are introduced to Philip, who continues to be one of the main characters in the second part of today's passage. The second half of this passage starts from verse 26. Philip is called from his work with the Samaritans to a desert road that leads from Jerusalem to Gaza. Well, the desert is hot. Philip is probably thinking, nah, not today. I want to finish my work with the Samaritans. But Philip knows that God is calling him to something important. On his way, Philip sees a chariot. In that chariot was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. This eunuch was in charge of all of her treasures. He had travelled from Ethiopia to Jerusalem to worship. Philip comes next to the chariot to investigate further to find that the Ethiopian was reading scripture out loud. We learn that he is reading the prophet Isaiah. The eunuch desires to know God. This is evident by the extensive travel that he made to Jerusalem to find out more about this God. And also, because of the circumstances, he would have been left empty-handed with no further understanding. We know that God rewards the seeking heart. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart." Then John 7:17 says, "If any man is willing to do his will, he shall know of the teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak from myself." The eunuch is an example of one who is living up to the light he had, and it is through Philip and his ministry that the full revelation of Jesus is given. The scroll that he has with him of the prophet Isaiah would have been purchased in Jerusalem at a large cost. It is so rare that someone would have a scroll of scripture. And this was another important example of his eagerness to know who God was. As Philip sees the eunuch reading the scroll, he asks a simple question. Do you understand what you are reading? Now, would you, if you were sitting in a cafe, a library, or a park, go up to someone who is reading and ask, "Do you understand what you are reading?" On the flip side, if the question would be asked of you, how would you respond? This eunuch is eager for answers and responds not with, "Who are you?" to Philip, but responds with, "How can I unless someone explains it to me?" In that moment, the eunuch invites Philip to join him. We are told in this passage that the scripture he is reading is Isaiah 53, verses 7 to 8, which read that he was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. This passage was the perfect opportunity for Philip to speak of an innocent sufferer, brought to a place of slaughter and so unjustly executed. Philip began to explain the passage and told the eunuch the good news about Jesus. Now I'm sure if you're looking at your Bible, you can see that the story continues with Philip and with the eunuch, and it results in the eunuch being baptized. God's heart is for the lost. This passage reminds us that Acts and the missionary journey that we find throughout the whole book is only fulfilled by God himself. It was God who chose Philip. It is God who directs him to the right place at the right time. And it is God who is preparing the Ethiopian. In saying that, it is important not to sit here and think, well, if God is sovereign, let him do the work of evangelism. Here at St. Alfred's, we have many opportunities to share the good news of Jesus to those around us. Are we prepared to do this on days that we say, nah, not today? Or do we look at the story of the scattered church and of Philip and the Ethiopian and think to ourselves, tell me more, tell me more? God directs us, God prepares us, and the Spirit tells us. The greatest missionary of all time is God. Are we as Christians willing to be directed like Philip and take the gospel where God directs us? In 2016, after a lot of prayer, I started studying at Ridley College. I had no idea at that point in time that I would be here today. I had no idea that by starting at Ridley that I would get the chance to see Israel and Turkey, to delve deeper into God's word and come closer to God. Just the same, prior to my role as a youth minister, I was working in aged care. Through a lot of prayer, conversations, and considerations, I made the change from aged care to youth ministry. I have worked alongside young Christian adults who still have questions, who are seeking answers to all of their questions. I can ask the question, do you understand what you are reading? In reality, I might not be able to help them, but I can push, guide, and direct them forward. I help them become mature followers of Christ. It is through my training and my call to ministry as a Christian that I have been called to mission, and a particular mission. As I'm coming to the end of my time here at St. Alfred's, I'm excited to travel the road less traveled like Philip and to be taken where the Lord has led me and guided me. In 2019, there was a seed planted for me to consider defence chaplaincy. It was a prompting from God, which then became a conversation and affirmation from the people closest to me. Very soon, I will be leaving Melbourne and be heading into Navy chaplaincy. I will first complete 6 months of basic training and then spend 2 years in Sydney working alongside senior chaplains as I learn and grow within the role. Now, I know that my call to mission is specific. So how can you, in your life, listen expectantly like Philip to the call of the Spirit to guide and direct you? Are you hiding your faith, scared of the persecution you may receive from friends, colleagues, or acquaintances for being a Christian? There's a young adult here within the St. Alfred's community who made a friend in line waiting for a COVID PCR test. That friendship grew. They moved in together, and that friend, who wasn't a Christian, started coming to church. What opportunities have you had, but instead said to yourself, nah, not today? So there are three key points that have come out of today's passage, which as Christians we need to remember. Firstly, Christians must be ready to interpret the scriptures to those drawn to the Bible, but bewildered by it. Secondly, nothing hinders any converted believer from being included into the household of God, which provides a home for the homeless and a family for those without a family. And thirdly, nothing can hinder the spread of the gospel because the Spirit, not humans, is in control. We see that Philip was led by the Spirit to first of all leave Jerusalem and head to Samaria, then to go to the road in which Philip had no idea what was about to happen. Then on that road, Philip encountered the eunuch and was able to interpret the scriptures. Later in the story, the eunuch was baptized, but more importantly, the faith in which he has taken up as a Christian means that he has a family and a home. It didn't matter what Philip wanted to do, whether or not he wanted to say, nah, not today, or respond with a resounding yes to God's call, nothing was going to hinder the spread of the gospel. So how, as Christians today, can we look at this passage and be prepared to share the good news and work as missionaries to further the kingdom of heaven? There are some of us who are called to other countries to share the good news, called to serve and share God's love locally or even nationally. But as Christians, we are called to mission. God's heart is for the lost. A church or a Christian that ceases to be a missionary ceases to be Christian. We have heard throughout our 2 Timothy series that we are each given gifts from God, that we must not be ashamed of our faith, our leaders, the church, or the gospel. We are reminded that we are to share the good news, whatever the context that we are faced with. This can be within our church or within our local communities, maybe even standing in line for a COVID test. There is a call to keep the faith, just as there is a call, like Philip's, to go where we are needed. My calling is unique to me. I am being called to minister to those in the Defence Force. There are 4 of us who are preparing for this ministry together. God has called each of us into this role to walk alongside those who may not understand scripture or faith, but want to know more. We walk alongside them and help them understand God and who He is as a father and as a friend. Can you remember when you were a new Christian or when you decided that you would continue the faith handed on to you by your family? The questions that you may have had, the lack of knowledge. Maybe you had someone walking alongside you as you navigated your new understanding of who and what God was to you. My challenge for you is that if you are in a small group, or in a workplace or university, in a cafe, a bus, a train, wherever it may be, listen to the Spirit guide you. Can you think of one person who you wish to share the gospel with? Can you invite them to come and join your small group? Can you start a conversation with them, helping to understand the questions that they're grappling with? Can you share your faith in your workplace, your uni, cafes, buses, trains, or wherever you are prompted to share it with someone? The gospel is offered to all comers. It requires no need for perfection. There is nothing that stops them from being accepted as God's people when they repent and believe. God's heart is for the lost. Our hearts should be bridging the gap between the kingdom and the lost. Amen.